you.
Hello and welcome inside Studio 34, live from Midtown Manhattan in New York City. You're watching the World Cup quarterfinal preview show presented by DKMS. I'm Frank Stanfill alongside Martino Puccio. If you've been watching the Fantasy Sports Network, you know we've been pushing out some soccer preview videos, some recap videos. Martino's been doing a great job with Joe Artino there at Iona College. You can follow Martino at MartinoRosario3 on Twitter. And to his left, we have Katrina Dole, social media manager for DKMS. And if you, again, if you've been watching or listening to the Fantasy Sports Network, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, you know about our great partnership with DKMS. They're trying to end the fight against blood cancer. So, Katrina, I'll start off here with you. First off, thanks for being in the studio.
Awesome. Thanks for having us. We're excited.
What's going on over at DKMS? I know you can follow DKMS at DKMS_US, DKMS.com/register to get involved. What's going over at DKMS? What can you tell us about what's going on right now?
Yeah, thanks. Like I said, we're excited to be here and talk about what we do. So DKMS is a organization where we register people to the bone marrow registry. We raise awareness about blood cancer and other diseases that are affecting, that affect people's bone marrow, and we register donors. And it's an incredible mission. This year, we reached our 1 millionth active registered donor, which was an amazing accomplishment. The local guy from New York, Vinny from Staten Island, and he was so excited to become our 1 millionth donor. 19-year-old kid, really like an amazing story, and we really do need to get the word out to more young people between the ages of 18 to 30 to let them know that they can really make a difference and impact the population of people who are suffering and battling bravely these diseases.
Yeah, and you know, you see me on the Fantasy Best Friends Fervor, myself, Greg Sussman, Michael Florio. We've had great DKMS guests in studio to tell us about how they've affected other people's lives, how touching it really is, and some of the stories that we hear. It really is great stuff. So please, again, the website to check out, dkms.org/register, to find out more about that. Also, coming this Monday, DKMS Trivia Challenge is back. It begins this Monday with a chance to win 2 tickets to the World Series, which will be held in the Bronx this year, obviously. So to get involved with that, make sure you call in. Make sure you call in to FNTSY Radio, 844-843-6879, when we get that started. Martino, I mentioned some of the stuff that you've been doing. I know you and Joe, you've been previewing each game, picking each game. Oh, yeah. You did great work with the knockout stage. It's really been a wild World Cup. You know, wearing the Italia shirt. Before we even came on here, Katrina was telling us how she was emotionally invested in Germany. I myself was invested in Germany, so here we go. We have 3 losers sitting at the table who are going to continue talking about the World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah,
what are we going to start off with?
Look, it's just been wild from the sense that Germany, look, the first time that they've been eliminated from group stage.
Last place, too.
Yes, one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history, losing to South Korea. And then we have the host nation, Russia, making it this far. Down to the final 8 teams, the quarterfinals. I don't know how many people could have predicted that. And then we have Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, 2 of the greatest football players in the history of the game, are already eliminated. So let's start right there. They were eliminated by Uruguay and France, respectively. Uruguay, the 2-1 win over Portugal. France with the 4-3 win over Argentina. Really, you know, 4-2, they allowed that late goal late, which made it 4-3. But if you watch the game, although they were down 2-1 at one point, France, it didn't look like they were losing. It didn't look like they were in danger of losing the game, really. They stormed back and scored those 3 unanswered goals. And then eventually, you know, it ended up being 4-3. But I think France really established dominance there. In this game, France against Uruguay, it's going to be the first game, the first match tomorrow, 10 a.m., kicking off the quarterfinals. France, heavy favorites, as I mentioned, -104 versus Uruguay, +357. To draw is +216 as of right now. What we do know is Edinson Cavani, striker for Uruguay, doesn't seem like he's fit enough to play in this match as of right now. I don't think he's going to go. There's a chance that he can be subbed in late, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. And obviously, this affects them tremendously. Uruguay, they've had a great defense to this point in the tournament, but having Suarez and Cavani up top really changes everything that they can do. And then France will be without Blaise Matuidi, who, is, because of yellow card accumulation, will not be playing in this game. So I'll start with you here, Martino. France versus Uruguay, I think if Cavani plays, it's a much different game. But as of right now, how do you see this one playing out?
I unfortunately, I do see it kind of being like a steamroll, because I think France is just way too good at this point. And the fact that Kylian Mbappe is only 19 and he's the first teenager to score two goals in a knockout round since Pele kind of speaks volumes as to where he's at. He burst on the scene a couple years ago with Monaco when they went all the way to the semifinals in the Champions League. And I think he made his name bigger now, because this is the biggest stage possible. And the way he just took over that game against Argentina, and not just Argentina, that's against one of the greatest players of all time, Messi. And the fact that he was able to turn it on so late after they were down, I mean, I think Uruguay could be in trouble here.
Yeah, and Uruguay, look, they've conceded just one goal. We know they have a great defense. They have Diego Godin, the captain, really, you know, manning the defense there. You mentioned Mbappe has three goals total in this World Cup. What he did in that last game, you saw it, him take the ball from one end, dribble all the way down the other side.
Acceleration's off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, he's huge. He's tall. Katrina, Uruguay versus France, you mentioned before we went live that you kind of have like a... You have something going on with France.
She has beef with France.
You can let us know what's going on there. And honestly, what you think is happening here, Uruguay versus France, although Uruguay will likely be without one of their best players.
Yeah, I mean, I have beef with France. You're right. I've had beef with France for many, many years. It goes back to Thierry Henry and his handball in the box to eliminate Ireland. Some things you just can't forgive. And I'm never going to let that go. It actually carried over into me rooting or I'm a Red Bulls fan. It carried over into like the pain of having to like cheer for him. It was just like irony to a very uncomfortable level. And so I will be rooting for Uruguay despite the fact that they won't have one of their best players. That's it. I can never root for fans. I always root with my heart, which is not good. Probably should never bet on things because of that. But yeah, definitely not supporting France in this.
Yeah, that's something that we do talk about, obviously, at the Fantasy Sports Network. With fantasy sports, not drafting with your heart, not letting things like that get in the way. Obviously, when it comes to betting, I think even more so, you shouldn't bet with your heart.
No.
But if you not putting money on it, you still want Uruguay to win this game. So, look, if we're just making predictions, France, I think, just stacked all around, Martino. Look, they have Griezmann, they have Mbappe, but it's not just them. I mean, you look around the midfield, they have Pogba, they have world-class defenders here as well, they have Hugo Lloris in goal, and it's not a knock on Uruguay, because I think they're a very well-rounded team, too. You look at what they've done throughout the tournament, just in terms of defense. I think this is kind of a clash of styles. Ultimately, France did still allow three goals against Argentina, so I think Uruguay comes in as the stronger defensive team, but the lack of being able to push forward and score goals without Cavani. You know, Suarez might be able to get one here, but I think overall France has too much talent, too much attacking power. I'm going with France to win this game 2-1 in regulation time.
Okay.
How do you see it playing out?
I don't actually see Uruguay scoring this. Because if you notice, when Cavani came off in the game with that injury, they were playing terrible. They really had the high pressure going when they had him and Suarez up top, and they were giving Portugal a lot of problems. That's what led to the two goals. But now that they don't have Cavani, and it's a game about depth, you mentioned how many guys France has. It doesn't matter that Matuidi's out.
Yeah,
but
really
you can even look at the 11 they left off that they didn't even bring to the World Cup. Could probably be in the knockout stage right now. They're that good. But I just think it comes down to depth, and Uruguay's just going to get tired. They're going to have to play on the counter in order to get a goal. You always have a chance when you have a guy like Suarez, but the way they just kind of turned it on late, France, when they went down 2-1 and Pedard scored that goal and then Mbappe happened, I think it's too much. I think it could be 3-0. I think it could be that
3-0.
Bad.
You see a route going down.
I do see a route. I do. France, they're going to get tired. Uruguay. They're going to get tired. It's going to be a lot. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Katrina. I'm sorry you had to hear that.
Hey, I don't like Suarez. Suarez bit Chiellini last World Cup.
I'm going to unfollow you on Twitter. So, no, I mean, I think you're both right about the depth that France has. And in reality, that's probably the way that I think it'll go. But I think when you have a team that is down their best player and has come maybe a little further than some people expected, there's a little bit of fight in you. So I don't see them going goalless. I think that maybe it could be we could be looking at, you know, a little extra time here where France wins it. I don't see a route. I think Uruguay's come too far. I'll hope for that late sub for Cavani.
There you go. So we have two, not differing opinions. I think we still think France is going to win here, but Martino thinks it's going to be a rout. I still think that Uruguay's defense is good enough to somewhat limit France in this game. I think France wins this one 2-1, as I mentioned. The -104 betting favorites, if you trust Martino and myself, go ahead, check out my bookie where you can actually throw some shekels on this game. But moving on, the second match, which in my opinion, is the match of the quarterfinals, which I'm so, so, so excited to watch. If you've been checking out some of the FST videos, the work that Chris Venture and myself have been doing, we are very, very high on Belgium. With that being said, they are going up against Neymar and Brazil here. So Brazil coming off the 2-0 win against Mexico and Belgium coming off the 3-2 win, really stunning comeback win against Japan, where they were down 2-0 in that game, coming back the last really 30-35 minutes of that match, scoring three goals, really the last second goal where Lukaku just lets the ball pass him purposely.
Dummy. Great dummy.
And then right behind him, you have them to put the goal in there. Back in the net. The betting lines here, a lot closer than the France-Uruguay match, which we already mentioned. We have Brazil, money line favorite right now, +112. Belgium at +254 with the draw at +238 over at my bookie right now. Before we get into actually previewing this game, Martino, I wanted to ask you, did Belgium make a mistake by winning their last group stage match against England? It's so tough to say. Because obviously you want to go out and you want to win every single game, but you knew that this was the route you were going to go down if you win that group. Yes. That, yeah, you might get Japan in the first round of 16, but then you're going to get Brazil. And then if you win against Brazil, you're going to get one of Uruguay or France. Obviously, I think we can all definitively say this is the tougher side of the bracket. So now they get Brazil. Before we actually preview the game, did they make a mistake by winning against England and overall winning that group?
Well, in one of the videos we did here with Jersey Giorgino, by the way, hello, hope he's watching. But we talked about how if you're a team like Belgium and you're coming in with aspirations of winning a World Cup, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So that means you're going to have to go play Brazil. You're going to have to play possibly France or Uruguay. I mean, you get the easy game against Japan in the first go around, but no game is easy in the knockout round. I mean, we've seen it so far. I mean, Russia sent home Spain, which is just incredible. And then we saw all these crazy upsets. And even Japan was so close to beating Belgium if it wasn't for an epic meltdown. So I think the fact that they kind of made a mistake taking this round, I think there's some plausibility to it. Because, I mean, I think I would rather play a Colombia without James Rodriguez or even Sweden and then possibly Croatia or Russia as opposed to all these juggernauts on this side of the bracket. But you know what? I don't think it's a mistake if ultimately they want to win the World Cup, because I think that's what they're going to have to beat these kind of teams.
Yeah, that's true. If you manage to beat a Brazil, you will be battle-tested by the time you get to the semifinals to face a France team. Katrina, I see you you shaking your head over there, nodding in agreement. Overall, like, do you agree? Should they have not tried to win that match, try to take the easier route, or are you on the same thinking that Martino?
I'm on the same page. I think for a team that, like you said, has aspirations of winning World Cup, if you take your foot off the gas for any of it, you give your team an excuse. I think that's across any sport, really, and especially when you have such limited opportunities in a World Cup situation. You never take your foot off the gas. You always full steam ahead. Put your best players out there, and make sure that the team stays completely on track with the game plan, or else you're just giving them an excuse to just like have a crummy game, and that's a mentality thing, and then that sticks in your brain. It's like, oh, I'm gonna relive this moment. So just from a psychological perspective, I think like never let off the gas. So
as I mentioned, to me, I think this is the match of the quarterfinals, Belgium versus Brazil. Actually put some money on Belgium before the World Cup started to win the entire thing. I think they are that stacked. If you just look at the attack, the midfield, the defense, the goalie, they have Courtois, they have the attack in Romelu Lukaku, Eden Hazard, they have Kevin De Bruyne, Carrasco, they have defense, Vertonghen, Vincent Kompany. Obviously, Brazil just as stacked, arguably better. You have Neymar, top three player in the world right now. You can talk about the memes. You can talk about all the videos, the acting. It doesn't matter. Every single soccer player does it, so I don't want to hear it when it comes to Neymar. We know the skill here. Brazil will be playing without Casemiro, who is defensive midfielder. I think that is a huge loss for them. They will have Fernandinho, who actually plays club ball with Kevin De Bruyne at Manchester City. So maybe he has some familiarity there. He knows how what he can do to slow him down. So with all that being said, Martino, how do you see in what I think is the match of the weekend, of the quarterfinals, how do you see it playing out between Brazil and Belgium?
Well, I got Brazil winning this. Like you said, you had Belgium winning prior to the tournament. I had Brazil winning. I just think they're so stacked. And I think we've seen it where we had Marcelo go out with injury. We had Douglas Costa go out. They're two top guys at their positions. Seamless transitions. You can't even tell. They've only given up one goal, and that was just against Switzerland after a Miranda blunder. So I have Brazil winning this. I think they have the mentality that they've been there before. And you know what? Belgium really cannot come out like they did against Japan and expect to beat Brazil. That's just something that's not going to happen. Lukaku's really got to step his game up because he missed a few sitters in that one that he really should have put in the back of the net. Aside from the dummy, I don't think he's really impressed me from that game especially. So, I mean, when you're coming in against a team like Brazil that's got all these tricksters, I mean, Coutinho is a guy we didn't even mention yet, and then they got Gabriel Jesus, who plays at Manchester City as well, and then even Bobby Firmino made that run with Liverpool to the final. I don't know. I just think there's too much firepower on this team. They've been there, done that, and they're coming back from a World Cup where it was a missed opportunity for Neymar and some of the other guys. And guys like Thiago Silva, Miranda, this is their last go-around. So there's a lot of pressure when you put on that shirt, and I think they're actually going to come through.
So you think they win it in regulation, or do you see a tie and then they go to PKs?
I could see a tie going to PKs, but to me, if Brazil's going to win, I think they're going to win in regulation. I don't see it going into overtime, because I think that'll just go to penalties.
Yeah, I certainly do agree with a lot you said. Nothing more than the fact that if Belgium comes out in this match the way that they did against Japan, going down 2-0 against Japan, if you come out that way against Brazil, you will be down like 5-0.
Could.
In the first half.
Could be bad.
So you, but we know that they have the talent in order to play defense. I think they have enough to hang with Brazil. So personally, I'm taking this as a tie, and then I think it's going to PK, and I'm taking Belgium there if that were to happen. Katrina, how do you see this playing out? Belgium versus Brazil, obviously both sides stacked. Who do you have here?
I mean, if like you said, if Belgium comes out like they did against Japan, it's just not going to be close. It's just going to be sad. And that would be really a tragedy for a Belgium team that really has put, I think, something a little bit together here. I also think I would love to see PKs in this game. And, like, because of the, like, both teams are a little bit dramatic, I think. They have those, like, level of, you know, dramatic players. I would love to see PKs, and I would just love to see Brazil go down. But it's not going to happen. But, you know, again, me picking with my heart picks Belgium in PKs.
Look, I'm picking with my heart,
don't
picking with my wallet, picking with my brain. I'm going with Belgium across the board. But look, you're watching right now the World Cup quarterfinal preview presented by DKMS. Frank Stanfill alongside Martino Puccio and Katrina Dole, social media manager for DKMS. Make sure you go to check out DKMS on Twitter at DKMS_US. Visit DKMS.org/register to see how you can get involved. Obviously, again, you know, watching the Fantasy Sports Network, listening to us on radio, you've seen a lot of the great work that we're doing, the partnership together here between Fantasy Sports Network and DKMS. We've had people in studio, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, other shows as well. Really, people coming and letting us know their stories about how they have helped people with blood cancer as well. And it really is, you know, a heartwarming experience to get involved. Where can people go again, Katrina, to get involved and make an impact?
And everything you said is so awesome. And, you know, it's really actually been an amazing partnership. The audience that Fantasy Sports has really taken up with the message. And we have seen a lot of new registrants or, you know, new people asking us more about how we can get involved. So it's been an incredible experience. We're very excited about it. DKMS.org/register. We are always looking for donors, and there's a lot of information there. You can also feel free to reach out to us via Twitter. We answer everyone's questions. That's what my job is, my team at DKMS, our social media team. Shout out to Jelani. But yeah, so feel free to any questions that you have, you reach us. We really just want to help get people informed and let people understand that there's 14,000 patients waiting out there for a bone marrow transplant, and you could be the person that like steps up and saves a life.
Yeah, we know the stat. We've given it out before. Every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. So, again, this is your chance to give back. And, Katrina, you know, you mentioned something that's interesting to me because as a quote-unquote fantasy analyst, my job on social media is to answer a lot of questions as well. So we're not really that different in that regard.
Nope.
All righty. So just moving on to the next match. We've already mentioned the matches that you will see this Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern time. You will be watching Uruguay versus France, where I think we all kind of think France is going to take this one. Katrina doesn't really want it to happen, but it sounds like she still thinks it's going to happen. And then at 2 p.m., you get the slobber knocker of the quarterfinals. I'm just going to keep beating that into the ground because I am just so excited for this match to happen. I kind of wish it was Saturday, you know, everyone off from work. You could just sit back and watch it. But
sick day?
Nando, sick day? We'll figure out
some stuffy in here. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel something coming on. Brazil versus Belgium, that is the match. But moving on. Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern time, we will get England versus Sweden. And honestly, to me, this is kind of, I think this is the toughest one to call. I think this is the closest of the matches right now because England, kind of hard to figure out where they're at. They lost the match to Belgium. All throughout the tournament, we've heard Harry Kane on, he's on pace to win the Golden Boot. Mm-hmm. He has, what is it, six goals already in this tournament, Martino. Mm-hmm. So we know, look, again, they have world-class talent. There's no arguing that. England is always talented, but it seems whenever they get into these tougher games, these clutch games, we haven't really seen it happen. So Sweden boasting the defense that they've had, we know they gave up the last-second goal to Germany in their match, but really aside from that, like they held Germany back in that match, and really throughout the tournament they have boasted a great defense. And then offensively, like who needs Zlatan, right? Is Zlatan not even on this team anymore? Incredible. And then you see the Sweden squad make it all the way into the quarterfinals. So England, we have as a -111 betting favorite, very high odds right now. They're like legitimately a betting. They're big favorites in this game. Sweden +373 to win, +224 for the tie. So with all that being said, Martino, how do you see the defense of Sweden taking on, you know, the talent, the all-around talent, and attacking, just attacking of England in this match?
You know what? The odds that you're given, I think they really dumbfound me. It's pretty incredible that Sweden's been able to do all this. I mean, they eliminated Italy right in the qualification elimination round just to get into the tournament, 1-0. They're not allowing any goals. You mentioned that it took Germany the last-second free kick chance right by Toni Kroos just to get that one out, a result against them. They were so defensively sound against a team like Switzerland who was firing the ball in the box multiple times with their crosses. And yet, England barely beating Colombia without their best player is a heavy favorite in this. That really is interesting to me. And you talked about it. You see, like, every time England's in a situation with high pressure and they're expected to win, they don't usually come through. But they kind of impressed me last game against Colombia. I know James wasn't playing, like I mentioned. But the fact that they were up 1-0, they let up the goal that got Colombia back into it in stoppage time. And then they were the first ones to miss the penalty in penalty kicks, and they still figured out a way to win. I think that was pretty impressive. But I think when you have a team like Sweden that's so defensively sound, and they have players like Emil Forsberg and August Stinson that could really create some chances for them, I don't really see England winning this. I'm actually going against the odds here.
So there you go. I mean, if you want to jump in, +373, those are great odds if you trust Sweden to win this match here. But again, what do we constantly hear in sports? It's not just football. It's not just basketball. Soccer as well. I mean, defense wins championships. And the defense of Sweden has brought them this far into the quarterfinals. So, I mean, even without a Zlatan, arguably one of the best strikers in soccer history, the defense is coming up huge here. I could see this match ending in a tie, whether it's 0-0, 1-1, we go to PKs here, where if that's the case, I think PKs would actually favor England. We saw them do it once before.
They exercise the demons.
I love what you brought up about really losing momentum twice in that game against Colombia. I mean, to give up a last-second goal to force extra time and to still come out on top winning that match, same thing happened in penalty kicks, that's huge. I think that's huge trending in the right direction for England. So I think this defensive-minded game, low-scoring, whether it's 0-0, 1-1, we go to PKs, I think England wins it. Katrina, how do you see this one playing out between England and Sweden?
I think I'm going with Sweden on this one, too. I think what's interesting to me, though, is England has a lot to play for, I think. Over the last, decade of, quasi-World Cup.
You even go since the last one, 50 years ago.
Exactly. They have so much, riding on this, I think. So there'll be a lot of fight in them, but... My question actually I have for you guys is where do we think the matchup of goaltending stands in this one? I feel like Sweden might have a bit of an advantage on that, and does that kind of play into this? Because we feel like defense in Sweden, they're the better squad here, but obviously with Kane and his six goals, I feel like this could be maybe more of a goalie match. I don't know. I could be wrong about that.
That's kind of on point with what we were talking about.
I mean,
low scoring. I don't know. I mean, look, I think Sweden's favorite here because a lot of the times when your defense isn't giving up as many shots, your goalkeeper is going to be in better position to make better saves. But to me, Jordan Pickford's actually been impressive because usually the narrative, aside from England not winning penalties, is that their goalkeeper usually messes up.
Right.
We saw it when our own USA, Joe Hart messed up.
James Robert Vanderbeek. Green.
Robert Green as well against the USA when our boys went to go play them. I think it actually does favor Sweden in this matchup. That was a really good question, though, because, I mean Pickford, I think he can give them a good game, but man, I don't know. It always comes down to one chance a lot of the time in this sport.
So we have Sweden here. You have them winning... In regulation.
I always go regulation. Because overtime's too difficult.
We have Katrina with Sweden winning as well, and I'm the black sheep. I'm going to go with England here. I'm going to trust that the talent wins out, but I could see this one going to PK or potentially ending in extra time. I have England winning. And then the, I guess you could say nightcap. It's going to be night in Russia, but here it's only going to be 2 p.m. On Saturday. It's the host nation, Russia, which I've already mentioned, I think, huge surprise to this point, making it all the way into the quarterfinals. Again, similar to England and Sweden, trying to figure out Russia as a team overall is it's impossible. Because, yes, they've beaten up on some teams that they were supposed to, and when you make it this far, when you face the lesser teams, you are supposed to handle your business.
Yep.
And Russia did do that. But what happened when they faced Uruguay? They lost 3-0.
Yep.
Then they came back and they bounced back and they beat Spain. So it's where do you really lie with Russia? How good are they? They lost to a team in Uruguay who is also in the quarterfinals.
Yep.
They lost to them 3-0. You come back and you beat Spain. You tie them 1-1. A very talented team, albeit an older team in Spain.
Yep.
They beat them in penalties. So now they're going up against Croatia, where they are huge underdogs in this matchup. Croatia, we know, kind of similar to the Belgium and Brazil. They're pretty stacked all around. They have Luka Modric. They have Perisic. They have Rakitic as well. Any itch you want, it's on Croatia.
They got it.
But Croatia against Russia.
Will Russia scratch the itch?
Sorry. It's a good one. No, keep them coming. Keep them coming. Where do you lie on this one, Martino? Is this another one where it's just going to be Croatia just burying Russia into the dirt? Slaughter?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and it's kind of funny because Russia's a Cinderella in this.
Yeah.
Typically,
Russia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You never associate Russia with being the Cinderella story, the darling of the tournament. I think they were playing a Spain team last round that really was just all, messed up. I mean, they fired their head coach, 2 days before their first game. So they really didn't have any cohesion there. I think things were all over the place. And you know what? When you're the host country, and they got pretty solid players on there, Golovin, who's already rumored to go to top clubs in Europe now after this tournament. When you have guys like that, and you're the host country, the crowd's behind you all the time, you could really grind out results. But that being said, They're not going to beat Croatia. I really don't think it's going to be close. You mentioned how stacked they are. They have the best midfield that's left in this tournament. It's absolutely insane. Luka Modric is one of the greatest midfielders of all time. Forget about Croatian midfielders. I mean, he just had a three-peat in the Champions League with Real Madrid. That's so unprecedented. That didn't happen since Liverpool in the 70s. So is that crazy? You got guys like Rakitic, you mentioned Perisic, and Mario Mandzukic, too, up top, who's been great this tournament. I think it's just too much, and the Cinderella story is over. You mentioned the game's at night. The clock's going to strike 12. It's midnight. Turning back into pumpkins. Goodbye, Russia.
Before I get Katrina's prediction, I do just want to play devil's advocate a little bit here for you, Martino. I mean, Croatia went to PKs against Denmark.
Mm.
And, I mean, look, that's not a knock against Denmark, but Denmark is not the team that Spain is, I don't think, overall. They do have some fine players. There's no doubt about it. But does that worry you at all, the fact that, look, we saw two goals in the first, like, what was it, four or five minutes. Yeah. Where Croatia gave one up and then they bounced back right away. But does it worry you that they were pushed to the brink, literally, against a team like Denmark going into this match?
No. I don't think it really bothers me that much. Because the first goal in the first minute, it was a mess up by their keeper. So I don't think that's going to happen again. And Schmeichel was absolutely out of this world. And you could tell even in extra time, too, when Modric had to go up to take the penalty, that he was just spent. Because this guy not only is playing 120 minutes in like the World Cup after all these games, he plays all the way to the end of the season.
He's the heart of that team.
Oh, he is. He's the heart and soul of it, and he might be the best Croatian player ever at this point. So there's a lot riding on him there. But they really don't worry me in that aspect. I mean, Denmark's a pretty solid team, too. They were underrated, and they were in a pretty solid group where they were grinding out results, and they had some top players like Christian Eriksen, too. So I'm not really that worried about them. I think this one's the easiest of the four that we talked about.
Russia plus 282. Money line right now. Croatia at plus 120. Katrina, do you see a stomping going down in Russia as well?
Team Croatia. I'm on board. That's my new team. With Germany being out, I just felt like I watched a couple of their games. I loved the way they played. Like you said about the midfield, like just beautiful. Like, literally, they can move the ball. Like, that was what I didn't see with Germany. But anyway, I think, like you said, back to pumpkins for Russia. Congratulations on, you know, being the host nation and qualifying, but time's up. Sorry, Russia.
So there you go. We have, across the board, I agree that Croatia will win this in regulation. Just want to kind of bring everything to a head here. If you guys had to choose one team that's left now in the quarterfinals to win it all, I feel like I know Martino's answer based on what he told us, but I'll go back to it again. Martino, Katrina, who do you guys have winning the entire World Cup right now with eight teams left in the quarterfinals?
You go first.
Nope.
No?
You
okay.
You have to go first.
All right, fine. That's fair enough. Brazil. I just and you know what? I know they have a really difficult side of the bracket. I love France coming into the tournament, too. But from what I saw in 2016 and just kind of their mentality, I just didn't feel like they had it coming into this. And Brazil has a lot more to show. Because when you lose 7-1 against your Germans in the last World Cup, it's really demoralizing. We saw how much it meant to them and how much pressure they had. And even Neymar, after scoring the goal against Costa Rica, he started crying on the field. And yeah, I know, who knows? I mean, he's literally crying on the ground all the time. But it was a different kind of crying. It was real. I just think that it means so much more to Brazil than any other team in this tournament. And I know it means a lot to these guys because this only comes around every 4 years. But much like your Yankees, there's just so much pressure when you put on that shirt. And the goal, every single tournament they play in, is to win. And that's why I have them winning.
Katrina, who do you have winning it right now if you had to choose one of the eight teams left?
Yeah, life or death, depending on it. Brazil, with an eye roll, because it pains me to say it. But, I mean, I like I said, I'm rooting for Croatia now. I can't see them winning it all, but I Brazil, I just can. They're too good. They're too good.
I'm going to stick with my prediction before the World Cup started. Chris Venture and myself, we were all over Belgium. But I will say, I think whoever wins that match is winning the entire World Cup.
Exactly.
So I'm going to go, if Belgium wins, they're taking it all. I think if Brazil manages to knock Belgium out, they win it as well. Look, I think if you're good enough to beat Belgium or if you're good enough to beat Brazil, vice versa, you're good enough to beat any single team in this tournament left in the World Cup. So there you go. That was our quarterfinal preview. Again, presented by DKMS. Go check out DKMS on Twitter at DKMS_US. Go to DKMS.org/registers to get involved. Katrina Dole, social media manager. What else can you tell us about DKMS? You guys have anything else going on? I know we have the trivia challenge again coming up. Once again, it's, the partnership overall has been great. What else can you tell us just in conclusion with
DKMS? Absolutely excited about the upcoming contest for the World Series. It's, you know, I think overall, I just want to thank all of the fantasy sports audience for really being receptive to what DKMS does. Like I mentioned, we have seen great interest from that audience. So please keep it up, spread the word. There's a couple of stories that we've had this year. Like one really that might resonate with a lot of people is, Marcus and Mateen. Marcus is a 20-year-old from California who was basically told he was going to die. Imagine being 20 years old and like that's the end of your life. He had leukemia. And Mateen, a young woman from Massachusetts who was looking for a little bit of purpose in her life, and she registered to become a donor. And she got the call, and she knew she had to do this. And, you know, just hearing those stories, we really hope that people can just, like, think about how can I make an impact without really doing a lot. You know, it's just you kind of just have to show up. And there's so many other things in your life that you show up for. And think about showing up for a stranger who really, really needs you and their life depends on it. And, you know, I really, that's the message that we really try to get out there is you can be a hero. You can be a lifesaver. Register, be a bone marrow donor.
Yeah, and it's not a hyperbolic statement by any means. Like, no. You literally can save a life. I'll never forget last year during the fantasy football season, Greg Sussman and myself, we got a call. Someone called in, and he told us about how it helped save his life. So, I mean, just hearing stuff like that, I mean, it really is heartwarming. Again, check out DKMS.org/register. You can follow them on Twitter at DKMS_US. Martino Puccio, thank you so much for coming in.
No
continue
problem.
To check out his work. We're posting videos on Fantasy Sports Network with himself, Joe Arcino at Iona, with their soccer predictions, their breakdowns, their recaps of each game as well. So be sure to continue checking those out. You can follow him on Twitter at MartinoRosario3. You can follow myself on Twitter at @Roto_Frank. Guys, it's been great. Hope we've made the right calls. Obviously.
I think so.
Belgium, Brazil as well. Winning the World Cup here. Thank you so much for watching. For Frank Stanful, Martino Puccio, and Katrina Dole. Make sure to go check out DKMS. Lots of great things going on. The Trivia Challenge starts on Monday. So listen, FNTSY Radio. Call in 844-843-6879. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.